We are in the Hebrew year 5785, which is Pei He, five being the number of grace. We are in the Greco-Roman year of 2025, and 25 is exponential grace. It's five squared. You should be experiencing more grace this year than you've ever experienced, and you should be releasing more grace than you ever have. So tonight I want to talk a little bit about voice-activated grace. What are you talking about? Your voice is activating something. Arthur Burke said, God's laws cannot be broken. We either confirm them or we violate them. To the degree we master them, we thrive. To the degree we violate them, we reap consequences. I don't know about you, but I want to thrive. Amen. Some people are saying 2025 is the year to thrive. Well, we've got to be in agreement with the Lord. Out of the overflow of your heart, your mouth speaks. Your ears and your eyes are two of the gateways to your soul. In the early 1980s, I was meditating on scripture passages containing the law of hearing. Briefly, the biblical law of hearing says, what you hear is what you see, and what you see is what you get. Here's one example of that. We find it in Joshua 8, verse 1. Now the Lord said to Joshua, do not fear or be dismayed. Take all the people of war with you and arise. Go up to Ai. See, I have given it into your hand, the king of Ai, his people, his city, and his land. He spoke and he saw. To the extent we master the law of hearing, we thrive. When Father created us in his image and likeness, he intended for our voice to be an ambassador of grace, his grace in the earth realm. The first instance we see of this in Scripture is God working through Adam in Genesis 2, 19 and 20. Out of the ground, the Lord formed every beast of the field and every bird of the sky and brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And whatever the man called a living creature, that was its name. The man gave names to all the cattle and the birds of the sky and every beast of the field, but for Adam, there was not found a helper suitable for him. God allowed man's voice to set the order of nomenclature for all of his creation. We get to name it. Voice-activated grace. Can you imagine the conversation Adam had when God would walk an animal by him and he would come up with a name? I don't think it was Latin. You know, everything has a Latin name. Holy Spirit is still hovering over us to speak grace into Father's creation. When I was a backslidden hippie in graduate school, I saw this vision of something that has never been made before. As a matter of fact, it's impossible for it to exist in the air. It mimics the energy cycle in your body. And so I saw electrons moving, different than what everybody else had seen. And I would try experiment after experiment after experiment. And at 2 o'clock one morning, I was holding 10 grams of this bright yellow compound in a watch glass in my hand, created what could never be created. And I started giving praise and glory to God. And I got to name it. The name is about 2 lines long because of the protocol of naming chemicals. But it is something that is biologically active, and it mimics your NAD and NADH cycle in your body. Big deal. I got to name it. Last September, I wrote a cover letter for some reports that I had to complete. And in it, I said, your voice activates the invisible realm. And in the fourth watch of each night, you can set the course for your today. Fill the heavens with praise and the word of God and watch the hosts of heaven honor God on your behalf. Remember the law of hearing. What you hear is what you see, and what you see is what you get. People were intrigued by this statement in the cover letter, so I want to briefly expand it here. The first watch of the night is right now. It's from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. It's actually the start of the new day biblically. So today, right now, we are on the 9th of Av. We just ended the 8th of Av. In this watch, your voice is used to meditate on the goodness of God toward us in the previous 24 hours. So this should be a time when we're recalling all of the things he has done for us. As I look around the room, I see that most of us say, this is foreign, but this is biblical. We should be releasing praise and thanksgiving to activate grace for the new day that has just started in our lives. This is what we have just done during our time of worship together and during the time of the pre-service worship. The second watch, or also called the midnight watch, is from 9 p.m. to midnight. Unfortunately, this is the time when most of us scatter from the purposes of God. In this watch, our voice should activate grace to be released for us to hear and see from the Lord in dreams and visions of the night. And most of us are in such a hurry to lay our head down, we don't even take time to hear what the Lord is saying or to appreciate what he's about to do. I've told you before what my last thing I hear myself praying Isaiah 11:2 over myself before I fall asleep. The third watch, or the cockcrow watch, is from midnight to 3 a.m., and it's the time of the most intense spiritual warfare in every 24-hour cycle of time. This is the watch in which, like Peter, you and I deny Jesus when Holy Spirit tries to wake us up to intercede. Have you ever woken up at 1 or 2 in the morning, looked at the clock and said, oh, not now? Be honest. I have. But I ask him, what do you want me to pray for? And I pray myself back to sleep unless he tells me to get up. And sometimes he tells me to get up and pray. The fourth watch, or the dawning of the new day, or also the morning watch, is from 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. This watch is the time in which Father allows your voice to activate grace to set the course for the new day. When we do not speak, the enemy fills the void. You know how many morning watches there are around the earth? There's 24. It's 5 a.m. 24 times someplace in the earth. Do you know at 5 a.m., the radical Islamic faith is up releasing demonic decrees into the atmosphere, setting a course for demonization of your day. And you get up and you run out the door because you're late for work. This period from 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. is a time in which you can speak the word of God and it becomes a solid platform for you in each new day. If you don't speak, your enemy will. Our voice is powerful when we speak the truth of God's word over our spheres of influence. Do you know what your sphere of influence is? This is yes. This is no. I hear the web responding. You have the authority to release heaven into your spheres of influence, not just your home, not just your property, but everywhere where the Lord has called you to carry his kingdom. When we walk in covenant with others, we have the authority in our voices to activate grace over everything our covenant partners inform us God is calling them to do. When we're in covenant with one another, you have the authority of heaven to speak the covenant grace over their lives. Voice-activated grace is not name it and claim it. Some of us are young enough to remember those days when the faith movement just said, you want it, claim it. I don't see that in Scripture. Just as with Adam in our place of God's delight, voice-activated grace is released through intimacy with Father, Spirit, and Son. Most believers don't have intimacy with Father, Spirit, and Son. More and more and more today are pressing in for that intimacy. In Job 22, 28, it says, you shall also decide and decree a thing, and it shall be established for you, and the light of God's favor shall shine upon your ways. But this passage is based upon Job 22, 23 through 26, and we like to quote 28, but we don't like to see what it's based on. If you return to the Almighty and submit and humble yourself before Him, you will be built up. If you put away unrighteousness far from your tents, if you lay gold in the dust and the gold of Ophir among stones of the brook, considering them of little worth, and make the Almighty your gold and the Lord your precious silver treasure, then you will have delight in the Almighty and you will lift up your face to God. And 27 says you will pray and it will be answered. And 28 says you will decree a thing and it will come to pass. Why? Because you have such intimacy with the Lord, you only decree what you hear Him say. Right. Do you know who our role model is there? Jesus. He only said what He heard the Father say, and He only did what He saw the Father do. Voice-activated grace is based upon relationship, allowing us to hear, see, and get what Father is doing. Jesus heard and He saw Father, and His voice became a grace activator on earth. Everywhere Jesus spoke, grace was released. We cannot declare and we cannot decree and we cannot proclaim anything apart from hearing and seeing Father and then moving with Holy Spirit in the fullness of His time. Moses offers us a picture of how intercession gives us authority to release voice-activated grace. We see this in Deuteronomy 24 through 26. You have been rebellious against the Lord from the day I knew you, so I fell down before the Lord for 40 days and nights, which I did because the Lord had said He would destroy you. I prayed to the Lord and said, O Lord God, do not destroy your people, even your inheritance, whom you have redeemed through your greatness, whom you have brought out of Egypt with your mighty hand. Have you ever been burdened by the Lord like that for someone? That you would lay down your life so that theirs wouldn't be taken? I believe you probably have if you've been praying for someone's salvation. Again, Moses shows us how integrity is an essential lifestyle if our voices are to be vessels of voice-activated grace in Deuteronomy 23, 23. You shall be careful to perform what goes out of your lips, just as you have voluntarily vowed to the Lord your God what you have promised. You know, Father's looking at the integrity of our heart, and by the way, the pre-believers out there in the world around us are looking for the integrity of your heart. They are looking to see whether or not there's hypocrisy in your life like there is in religion. Integrity of intercession is one of the founding pillars for kingdom intercessors. You can't be a kingdom intercessor if you don't walk in integrity. Isaiah 53:7. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth, like a lamb led to slaughter and like a sheep silent before its shearers, so he did not open his mouth. Joshua 4:15. Now the Lord said to Joshua, you can only decree something the Lord has said to you. Otherwise, it's name it and claim it. Our voice-activated grace on earth when we speak in response to hearing Father and what He says. His word and His timing releases anointing. You've heard me say that before. When the Lord gives you a word, you have to ask Him, is it time to release this word? And if it's not, it will not carry any anointing. And so we have to learn to trust him that he will show us when and where to release it. In 2017, I released a message about sharpening your sword to intercede with authority. With the word of God in your heart, your tongue is a double-edged sword to activate and release grace in the earth. So let's look at both sides of that sword for a minute. This is even important, more important now that we're in the decade of the 5780s, the decade of pay. 35 times in the Old Testament and twice in the New Testament, the phrase, the edge of the sword, is used. Our intercession with the edge of the sword is important for ensuring breakthroughs are maintained and nothing in the lineage of those whom we care, who we pray for, can give place to powers of darkness and ancient curses. Are you breaking the stuff off of your bloodline? Are you preparing the generation yet to be born? For Lisa, it's the fifth generation. For us, it's the fourth generation. I pray every day for our children's children's children and their spouses, all the way until Jesus returns. I have a specific way of declaring, because I know his desire is for more children, kingdom believers. You have the authority in your voice, with your tongue, to cut off ancient curses, to break them, to forbid them. Are curses permitted in heaven? This side of the room says no. This side of the room is still thinking about it. Okay. We have a no. If it's forbidden in heaven, you have all authority, according to Jesus, to forbid it in the earth realm. Even for what you do not see, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the expected end, the evidence of things not seen. You can find strategic revelation by looking at the phrase, the edge of the sword, but what you will find in every passage is the key to the edge of the sword. In each passage, you find the English word edge. The Hebrew word is pei, meaning the mouth, a means of blowing. Literally or figuratively, it means the edge of your face. It means your speech, especially this year in the year of pei hei. Pei comes from the primitive Hebrew root word patah, which means to puff or to blow away, to scatter into the corners. Your voice should be powerful at scattering the enemy. You see, it is his breath in your lungs, it is his word on your lips, creating the edge of the sword to annihilate, blow away, and scatter your enemies and those that are facing those you love and pray for. It is the edge of your voice that cuts the way open for those you pray for to move into and possess their promised land. So, it's the breath of the edge of what? The sword. The Hebrew word there is kareb. It literally means drought. It also means a cutting instrument from its destructive effects, such as a knife, a sword, or other sharp instrument like an axe, a dagger, a knife, a mattock, a sword, or a tool. Every little boy's delight. Oh, maybe it was just my son's delight. Yeah, every little boy. Kareb comes from the primitive root word karab, which means to parch through, drought, to desolate, to destroy, to kill, or make waste. The edge of the sword coming out of your mouth should destroy every one of your enemies. Too often we agree with them. Our intercession, the edge of the sword, is sharpened by FaceTime with the Lord, so his word in you will accomplish the destruction of his enemy and the work of rebellion in the earth realm. You have the authority to bring heaven to earth and stop the darkness from moving forward. All voice-activated grace. By the way, defeating darkness in the earth realm is voice-activated grace. He gave you all authority in Luke 10:19 to do it. There is a second side to your sword. And it is this side of your voice which activates the gifts of grace in the earth realm. When we teach on spiritual warfare, we teach every level of warfare involves the same four steps: repent, renounce, break, and replace. Those are the four steps, whether it's deliverance, occult level, strategic level, or dominion level warfare. Breaking is voice-activated grace to deliver and set free. When we break, we're using voice-activated grace. How many of you cast a demon out by, You speak, and it goes, because that's what Jesus did. Voice-activated grace. Then replacing his voice-activated grace to fill the cleansed soul with the fruit and the gifts of the Holy Spirit to bring inner healing to the individual or to the land that you're redeeming. I do not know about you, but I cannot move in the gifts of the Spirit without speaking voice-activated grace. Now, according to Corinthians 12:4, there are distinctive varieties and distributions of endowments, gifts, extraordinary powers distinguishing certain Christians due to the power of divine grace operating in their souls by the Holy Spirit. And they vary, but the Holy Spirit remains the same. The Greek word that's translated as gift here is charisma. It means a divine gratuity. It means deliverance from danger or passion. Specifically, it's a spiritual endowment, a religious qualification, or a miraculous faculty, a free gift. Charisma, the gifts of the Spirit, are free gifts. They're voice activated. Thayer defines charisma as a gift of divine grace, or the grace or gifts denoting extraordinary powers, distinguishing certain Christians and enabling them to serve the Church of Christ, the reception of which is due to the power of divine grace operating on their souls by the Holy Spirit. Do you move in the gifts of the Spirit? You are moving in divine voice-activated grace. Each believer is, according to 1 Corinthians 12, 7 through 11, given a continuous revelation by the Holy Spirit to the benefit not just of himself, but all. Who are these gifts for? They're for the unbelievers, the pre-believers out in the world. They're not for us. We're just the vessels. For example, the Spirit gives the one the gift of the word of wisdom. To another, the same Spirit gives the word gift of the word of revelation knowledge. To another, the same Spirit gives the gift of faith. To another, the same Spirit gives gifts of healing. To another, the power to work miracles. And to another, the gift of prophecy. And to another, the gift to discern what the Spirit is speaking. And to another, the gift of speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to another, the gift of interpretation of tongues. Remember, it is the same Holy Spirit who distributes, activates, and operates these gifts, different gifts, as he chooses for each believer. You should expect Holy Spirit will move in all of the gifts through you. In certain situations and circumstances, you may be the only vessel God has to use. Don't live in him and say, well, I've got this gift and I'm really happy with it. Well, guess what? It's not yours. Give it away. You know, the more you give it away, the more Holy Spirit will pour into you. That's the principle of giving. We don't give because we got something we got to hold on to. We give because we know he can outgive us every time. We are all vessels through whom Holy Spirit manifests Father's voice-activated grace on earth. Just go up to someone in Wegmans and tell them God loves them. When he tells you to. And you know what? You'll see grace pour all over that person. Make yourself available to Father so you can become a sign who makes people wonder who he is. This week, tell people about what's going to happen Friday night downtown. Everywhere we went in Scotland, we were telling them about what the Lord was going to do. Everywhere we went in Honduras, we saw people get saved because we were telling them what the Lord was going to do. It's going to be great in Rochester. John 14:10. Do you not believe I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak of my own initiative, but the Father abiding in me does his works. Get intimate with Dad before you leave your house. Get intimate with him in the car before you go into your meetings, and let him use you. Your words and your works are the vehicle of Father's grace to release power and authority on the earth. Many believers do not flow with the Holy Spirit because of religion. We get asked that question all the time about my religion. I said, I don't have one. I have a relationship with the creator of the universe. If you still are moving in religion, come up afterwards and we'll set you free. We'll deliver you from that spirit. Because you should have an intimate relationship with the one who knit you together in your mother's womb. And according to Psalm 139:16, he wrote a book about you. All of the things you would do with him, that means there's no sin in there. Before he created the heavens and the earth, he wrote a book about every person who's ever walked on the earth. Religion devours you, but relationship with Father, Spirit, and Son sets you free to live for him. So let's examine this from the perspective of where we speak by looking at the tale of two would-be kings. David was old and advanced in age, and his fourth son, Adonijah, thought he would become king in his father's place. In 1 Kings 1:9, we read, Adonijah sacrificed sheep and oxen and fatlings by the stone Zocheleth, which is beside Enrogel, and he invited all his brothers, the king's sons, and all the men of Judah, the king's servants. Notice where Adonijah chose to make his move, Zocheleth. Zocheleth means crawling like a serpent. That is a clue. The only time Zocheleth occurs in the Bible is this verse right here, and it comes from the primitive root word zakal, meaning to crawl, by implication to fear, to be afraid. It means a serpent or a worm. Zakal is used three times in the Bible to translate as crawling things and reptiles. So this passage says Zocheleth is beside Enrogel. One interpretation of the Hebrew words for Enrogel comes from this, the eye of the slanderer. So he chose to get ordained and commissioned as king at the place of the crawling serpent in the eye of the slanderer. Could it be like Adonijah, when we make decrees from the place and timing of our own flesh, our voice activates the slander and the fear of the enemies of God? Now, let's consider Solomon, who did not exalt himself or claim a place of authority. The intercession of the queen and the prophet moved David's heart to bring God's will to pass. I personally believe their intercession ultimately preserved Father's lineage for his Messiah to come to the people. You do not know how important your intercession is for what God wants to do in future generations. So where did the righteous ordination take place? In 1 Kings 31:33-35, we read, then the king said to them, take with you the servants of your Lord and have my son Solomon ride on my own mule. Bring him down to Gihon. Let Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet anoint him there as king over Israel and blow the trumpet and say, long live King Solomon. Then you shall come up after him, and he shall come and sit on my throne and be king in my place, for I have appointed him to be ruler over Israel and Judah. So, where did he choose to get anointed as king? By the stream Gihon. which was one of the rivers in paradise. It was the second river mentioned in Genesis 2:13. It also means a valley. It's a pool near Jerusalem. And this is where Solomon was anointed as king over Israel. Gihon comes from a primitive root word, giak, which means to gush forth, such as with water, to issue, to break forth, to labor, to bring forth. Could it be, like Solomon, when we make decrees out of the place of intimacy with the Lord, his river of life gushes through us to activate his grace for breakthrough on the earth? Could it be that when we walk in intimacy with the Father, in his presence every day, we get to release his grace everywhere we go? We have a choice in our intercession. We can be like the Jordan River, which has life, but its voice is lost in the Dead Sea. You know, the Bible tells us the Jordan flows into the Dead Sea. You can look at a map and see that it flows into the Dead Sea. Or your voice can be a Holy Spirit-filled river of life, activating grace to bring fruitfulness into every mountain of culture on the earth. Everywhere you go, you can activate grace with your voice. Intimacy with the Lord has been and will be essential to hear what Abba is saying and see what he is doing. So we are in position to be vessels of voice-activated grace in the earth for those Holy Spirit leads us to minister to. Have you asked him who you're supposed to minister to today? Every day? You know what? He's got a list. All we got to do is ask and he'll share it. So be sure you speak extravagant grace, exponential grace over your spheres of influence. You are the first one to hear your voice. It resonates through your bones. You hear before anyone else hears your voice. What you hear is what you see, is what you're going to get. Amen? Now, I want to tell you something. We're going to end because in time we are in the ninth of Av. The ninth of Av was the day when the 10 spies came back and entered into a new form of idolatry. You know what it was? God's not big enough. The giants are too big. Slander and gossip. They put their own priorities, made themselves idols, saying God was not big enough. Joshua and Caleb, on the other hand, what did they say? Let's go. It's ours. God said it's yours. You have a choice. I want to pray for you to break every form of idolatry off of you. Because the ninth of Av has never been repented as a nation. Some individuals have repented. But Israel as a nation has never repented of saying God was not big enough to give him the promised land that he had promised to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all of the lineage before them. So the ninth of Av has become one of the most significant hazardous days for the nation of Israel. The temple was destroyed. The Spanish Inquisition and the Crusades all started on the ninth of Av. The concentration camps and the extermination of Jews in Israel, in Germany, in World War II, Hitler started on the ninth of Av. Do you know what's going on right now in Israel? If you read the email I had sent to you, you know that the war is still continuing. You know why that war is still going on? Because in 2005, on the 9th of Av, the Palestinians invaded Israel and took Gaza. God said it belongs to Israel. I don't care what any politician says, God says. But because it was taken, now all of this stuff has been happening. Will it come back? I believe it will come back to Israel, but Israel has to come back to God. Do you have idols that you have not repented of in your hearts? So take a minute and give them to God. Father, I repent for making my mind an idol. Father, I repent for making my checkbook an idol. Father, I repent for making Shepherd's Heart Christian Fellowship an idol. You see how simple it is to make an idol? Anything you hold higher than him, including your own mind, your intellect, your emotion, your physical strength, your looks. Voice-activated grace. I see some of you praying. You don't have to shout, but you do have to speak. Because when you speak, the angels respond. Are you ready? Some of us have a pretty long list, but you can do this every day. This is how I start my prayer every day, by repenting. Father, I thank you for your sons and daughters. Lord, they have renounced idolatry before you. They have repented. Lord, I break its hold off of them now so they can freely enter in to more intimate relationship with you. Holy Spirit, I ask you to rest on each of my brothers and sisters and all of those who will hear this message, and super saturate them with your presence and satiate them with the love of the Father. Jesus, I ask you to show up in their lives, in their dreams, in their work, in their business. Father, I forgive them their idolatry, and I break its hold off of them. And in its place, I ask you to manifest your presence in their lives in measures they have not known before. Elohim, Father, Spirit, Son, I ask you to romance them as we sang about earlier tonight. I ask you to dance with them. I ask you to romance them in such a way they will hear your voice in the roar of the day and in the quiet of the night, and they will respond with, yes, Lord. Father, I thank you for the freedom that is ours because of the victory of the blood of your Son. Lord Jesus, I thank you for the voice-activated authority you give us by the power of your Holy Spirit in us. And I say, continue to baptize us in greater measures, unlimited measures of your Spirit and your holy fire. Lord, I thank you for what you're doing. I thank you for telling Moses to tell Aaron how to bless your people. So I release your blessing on all of us now. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you, so every time you call upon his name, you see the love in his eyes and know his ears are attentive to your voice and give you his shalom, his provision, his salvation, his protection, and his peace. Father, I send your sons and daughters to be vessels of voice-activated grace every place you've called them to prosper, in Jesus' name. Amen. If you need prayer, please come on up over here.